Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 90, and it's Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay stories, geek news, and bizarre topics.
You almost said geek shit, didn't you?
Geek shit. I almost did, right? Hi, Ray. How are you, Ray?
Hey, Maynard. How are you doing?
Great. We're doing a kind of a simple setup. Ray and I are together here right now in Houston, and we're just doing some testing on our recording equipment. And I think these USB microphones would work better than the other ones. Although you do need your computer.
Yep.
All right, so let's do some weekend updates. Ray, I had drama last Friday, didn't I?
You had a lot of drama last Friday.
I was away from my cell phone for an hour.
No. You were away from your iPhone for an hour. You still had your work phone with you. And you were very capable of contacting people and texting and messaging and doing all that stuff.
Yes.
You would just be a drama queen because you had your iPhone turned in to get the battery changed.
Yeah, because I was eligible for a new change of batteries, and I was able to sign up for that battery exchange, because mine was the iPhone 6S, and they were able to swap it out for free.
For free. That's unlike right. The $30 I had to pay.
Yeah, that's right. I did have to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so that's what we did last Friday. And we ate at California Pizza Kitchen.
California that
was pretty
Pizza
good.
Kitchen, yeah.
All right.
There's no such thing, I think, as Louisiana Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, there is one in New Orleans.
Is there?
Yeah. That's where my favorite salmon and capers pizza. They have it there.
Nasty.
What do you mean?
I'll put pineapple on it and throw it in the trash.
Yeah. And also, what else did we do? Oh, you were busy last weekend.
Well, I went to the mall with you on Friday. I got invited to go to the Music Box Theater for their Broadway musical Ménage à Trois thing that they did.
I think I lost my invitation in the junk mail.
You didn't get invited, so there was no invitation to lose.
That's right. Okay.
I got invited because they're like, "Hey, we got extra tickets. You want to go?" And I'm like, "Yep, I'll go."
Ah, that's
free.
Okay.
So,
well, good for you.
And then Sunday morning, I got up and went to the church bazaar and partied with the Knights of Columbus.
Oh, Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're having a little fundraiser at Timo's grandmother's church, so we went to that.
Was it in Spanish or English?
What?
Wait, that's right. You didn't. I kept thinking church. You went to church.
I went to church. I didn't go in the church or attend the service, but I was out in the parking lot with the party going on.
Oh, okay.
So
you didn't do anything sacrilegious, did you?
No, because they didn't start serving margaritas until after 12.
Oh, okay. That's
right. We were good. But they have a Filipino pastor.
Yeah, that's the curious part. It's really rare to find a Filipino priest in Houston. It's good that you have one. I mean, there are a few, but there was one or two in many, many years ago. But this is the third priest that I
know. I'll have to invite him over for dinner one night and you can cook him Pinoy food or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
No.
No, you didn't?
Okay. But he was eyeing me like most Pinoys do.
Oh, my God. You're thinking all Pinoys are gay.
Pretty much.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so what else happened? Oh, you got to watch...
I went Sunday afternoon to A Quiet Place.
It's a good thing you did it on an afternoon. It's a horror film, right?
Yeah, it's a horror film.
It's got John Krasinski in it?
Yes, it was very good. Unfortunately, my coworker, who I'm not going to name, Lewis, told me the ending of it, which kind of ticked me.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So
well, don't say anything. I have to watch it then. I'm forgetting
what
it is.
Dude, why did you tell me that? Oh, man. So... But it's very good. It's very good. It's one of those things. The whole thing about the movie is because they have to be quiet all the way through. So it's very little talking. It's mostly sign language. And there's very low music that plays. So it kind of, like even at the very beginning, it is so quiet. You're just sitting in a very quiet theater, not listening to anything. Except maybe hearing the wind blow a little bit. So
you could compare it to like a silent movie in a way.
Almost, yeah.
Almost like. Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, probably I'll watch it one of these days. And I have to watch it during the day. Because I watch it, if it's the last thing I'm going to watch in the evening, I'll have nightmares.
You'd be scared.
I'll be scared.
You would be scared.
Oh, great. So, by the way, Ray, we lost all our games last Sunday.
And that's different how?
No, no difference. Really suck. What can I say? We're old. We're too old, Ray. Yeah. I should retire.
Y'all should just go and drink. Just go to the bar and drink beer and be done with it. Yeah. Instead of trying to put your bodies through all the running and hurting, and then we have to listen to you complain all week. Oh my God, I'm sore. I hurt so much. Oh my God, I can't do this. I'm not playing baseball anymore. Oh my God, I hurt.
Yeah, that's yeah. I know what you mean, but it's for fun. Mm-hmm. It's for the children.
Well, like I said, you can go to the bar and drink
and have fun doing it too, right?
Fun too, and you don't have to get all hurt.
I just don't go to the bars anymore. I don't know what. When was the last time you went to the bars?
When did I go to the bars? A couple weeks ago.
I haven't been for weeks or months, maybe.
And I saw gay peeps out at the music box thing, so I ran into people I know. So okay. It's kind of like being out.
Yeah, that's right. That's gay enough. So. All right, Ray, let's
Speaking of gay.
Yeah, gay. Let's go to the gay.
And we're not just talking about Maynard.
Yeah, we're not talking... Well, it's about Bill O'Reilly, but I don't think he's gay, but no, he's just anti-gay, right?
You want to take this first one?
Okay. So Bill O'Reilly says LGBTs want to sweep white people out of power.
White privilege, baby. White gay privilege.
Right. Bill O'Reilly went on a bizarre rant about racism on his podcast. See, he's now out of his network, out of Fox News. Now he's on. He has his own podcast. I wonder if people listening to it. So it's called.
I bet he gets more listens than we do, even though he's a hateful, evil old man.
Yeah, I bet. So after implying that only racism that counts is black people speaking out against racism, he said, "Now whiteness has become the issue." He said that immigration itself is an attack on whiteness. Conservatives usually say that their opposition to immigration has nothing to do with the race of immigrants, as well as Me Too. I think that's hashtag Me Too, right? So then the Me Too movement, very closely aligned with the progressive left, very, very closely aligned, said O'Reilly, who lost his Fox News show in 2017 when the New York Times reported on multiple sexual harassment accusations against him. Get those white guys, get them, and get them. O'Reilly then discussed an academic paper by Riyad Shahjahan and Annabelle Estera, making sure to mispronounce their names, really, in which they examined the stock images used on websites of colleges and universities. So Shahjahan and Estera wrote that the images portray white and male bodies as universal, neutral, and desirable. Yes, of course. Men are desirable, right? And promoted white. Heteronormativity
white
and
hetero white men are desirable.
Right. Okay. So the paper is behind the paywall if you go to the link. So yeah, if you think an esoteric academic paper that few people are even allowed to read wouldn't be important enough for O'Reilly to rant about, you'd be wrong. So the white people have to be swept out of power. Got to get them out. That the LGBTs and the minorities, and they have to run the show. That's what it's all about. What this is all about, and they're making strides like crazy. That's what O'Reilly said. So who knew the infamous homosexual agenda was about disempowering white people?
That's not the gay agenda. That's everybody else's agenda because they're tired of white people's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, gay. I don't know. I don't know. What's the problem with gay people with this article then?
He's saying that getting white people out of power is part of the gay agenda.
Which I disagree. I mean, do you agree? Or is that really like a common
thing? I think most of the problems with the U.S. is white people in power and white privilege. So
white, yeah, that I know. Yeah, white privilege.
So, and if you'd like to see that in action, just look at our president.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So. The orange Cheeto.
So, all right. Well, is he really white or is he a Cheeto?
He's orange.
Or he is an Oompa Loompa.
He's an Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa that grow up.
You know, whenever I look at his pictures, really, he's got that... it looks like he's using shades when he sprays his orange tan thing, right?
He does. Have you ever seen the videos of him getting spray tanned before?
Oh, no. I don't think I want to see that.
I like watching big fat white men getting spray tanned.
I like big fat white men, but not that... White, not that one.
Okay. So anyway, people still have a voice after losing their job on podcast of all things. He's trying to move in on us, Maynard. He's going to take our viewers away from us.
Yeah, that's right. So. If you have viewers.
All right. On to our next gay. Principal claims transgendered student's yearbook photo somehow violates dress code. A principal at a high school in Louisiana has decided at the last minute to cut a transgendered senior's picture from the yearbook. The principal also threatened not to let the student walk at graduation if she dresses similarly in her to her photo. Southwood High School principal Jeff Roberts said that Cammie Pham's photo could not be included because she was wearing feminine attire and a wig. This, he claims, violates the school dress code because it was inconsistent with her birth certificate.
Ugh, really?
But nothing in Southwood's dress code confirms this. Indeed, it is entirely gender neutral with no relevant specifics about how hair can be worn. It's impossible to conceive how Cammie's jeans and polo outfit could possibly violate the code. And there's a the part of the code that's posted in the article that says, bare midriffs, see-through garments, white undergarment-type t-shirts, bare backs, halter tops, tank tops, tube tops, spaghetti straps, and cutoffs cannot be worn. There are to be no holes or tears in clothing on the school campus, which none of her picture had.
Yep.
Hats are prohibited on campus and will be confiscated. Knit caps may be worn on campus during cold weather, but not be worn inside the building. And that's all it really says about what kind of clothing you can wear. So.
Yeah.
One of Cammie's friends, Tajana Cotton, told KTBS, if I wore that same outfit, there would be no problem. No one would say anything. So why treat Cammie any different just because of what her birth certificate says? Indeed, this suggests a clear violation of the Title X protections based basis of gender. Cammie learned the photo would be banned from the yearbook 2 weeks before its publication. Oh. Roberts also threatened that if Cammie wore her wig or high heels to graduation, that she would not be allowed to walk. Tajana has organized a change.org petition along with some other students to rally support for Cammie. In an updated post Monday night, she explained the petition is about protecting Cammie and all students who might come after her, she wrote. What we want is an apology and a rule change for all students so they can express themselves regardless of the gender on their birth certificate, Tajana wrote. At school, the students plan to pass out We Stand With Kim stickers. LGBTQ and gender nonconforming students have been particularly vulnerable to the kinds of gender policies that target yearbooks, proms, and graduation. In 2014, for example, a Catholic school scrubbed a student's photo because she wore a tuxedo. In 2012, a member of a Tennessee school board led a protest over an article from the yearbook called It's Okay to Be Gay that led to a teacher losing his job. We have an update. Tajana announced Tuesday on the petition page that the school board has issued a decision respecting Cammie's identity.
Yay!
Her photo will be included in the yearbook and she'll be able to dress according to her gender identity at graduation. Cato Parish stands by the First Amendment right of students to express themselves, the district statement read, and that belief is supported within the Cato Parish School Board's approved dress code policy. This expression is without regard to race, color, religion, age, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. Another update, Principal Jeff Roberts issued a statement claiming this incident was based on false accusations. In my years at Southwood High School, it has been my desire to create an environment in which students felt safe and could excel academically. Over the course of recent days, the positive momentum we have built has been torn down by the false accusations of a student regarding conversations which never took place. I can speak for myself and my staff in stating that we never denied the student ability to have their photo in the yearbook or nor on the senior wall, nor denied the student's ability to walk at graduation. While I've remained silent out of respect for the student, I also must defend myself and the school against claims which have led to threats. I adamantly defend the rights of my students to express themselves, having consistently stated that fact. We at Southwood will continue to conduct ourselves with the utmost integrity that remains unchanged regardless of the falsehoods leveled against us. So he's saying he never told her that. And mm-hmm. everybody else is saying, yes, he did. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Many.
But it seems like if the school board got involved, there was more to the story.
Yeah. I guess the school board didn't mind. I mean, the school board told them that, you got
to... Well, the way the article reads, the principal had an issue with it. Nobody else seemed to have an issue with
it. Yeah, it's just him. It's just really his... He has a problem with it.
Yeah. Okay. On to the geek.
All right. What is this? Can we... Oh, yes! That's
this
right.
Is, what do you mean? This is the article you posted.
I didn't know which one was first. But yeah, this is really... I imagine, you know, that episode, the last episode of Voyager, where Captain Janeway was able to control her shuttle with her mind, pretty much with commands like this, with mental commands, you can do this with this one. So this is a very good proof of concept of that. So, MIT's alter ego headset can read words you say in your head. So you just say it in your head and, you know, words get translated, I guess. You can do that. So Alter Ego is a new headset developed by MIT Media Lab. You strap it on your face. You talk to it. It talks to you, but no words are said. You say things in your head like, what street am I on? Yeah, you just really say it aloud in your head. You don't have to say it, make a sound. And it reads the signals of your brain sent to your mouth and jaw and answers the question for you. God, this is creepy, but it's awesome. According to MIT Media Lab, you may soon be able to control your TV with your mind. The institution explained in its announcement that alter ego communicates with you through bone conduction headphones, which circumvent the ear canal by transmitting sound vibrations through your face bones. Freaky. This MIT Media Lab said makes it easier for alter ego to talk to you while you're talking to someone else. Plus, in trials involving 15 people, alter ego had an accurate transcription rate of 92%. Not bad. If you just say it slowly in your head, probably it would get 100%. Arnav Kapoor, the graduate student who led alter ego's development, describes it as an intelligence augmentation device. Isn't that amazing? We basically can't live without our cell phones, our digital voices, said Patty Mays. Kapoor's thesis advisor at MIT Media Lab, but at the moment the use of those devices is very disruptive. Yeah, it's, you know, you have to head it, you have to walk around with it, be in class with it. So my students and I have for a very long time been experimenting with new form factors and new types of experience that enable people to still benefit from all the wonderful knowledge and services that these devices give us, but do it in a way that lets them remain in the present. So it's a headset. It kind of straps around near your lip, lower your lip, and I saw the pictures. If you guys go to the Geeky Bizarre page and you'll find this article. It's kind of awkward. It's white, so it's so white.
Lacist.
Yeah, I know. it doesn't blend with your skin. It's not transparent or anything. It's really obvious that you're wearing it. But the way it wraps around your head, and then it communicates to your, you know, through bone induction and everything. It's pretty awesome that they can do this. It's a good proof of concept that you might be able to control things in the house. If it's a headset, a small earpiece, eventually it's going to be like something like that. Or it could be just be a patch near your neck or something like that. So you could control things. It'd be awesome. I mean, this is a...
How does it work now?
It uses bone conduction on your head, and if you just speak aloud in your head, it will be detected.
Yeah, but what about people like me that have multiple voices going on all the time? Which voice will I listen to?
I don't know. If it's loud enough, I think the way it works is you have to shout it in your
head.
The
one that's always screaming in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Kill them. Will it be the one that I can control? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's interesting. We're getting to that point where it's like, you know, Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray, this is, I'm going to take this one. This is awesome.
Okay, first luxury space hotel plans to offer zero gravity living for $792,000 a night. Man, that's chump change for you, Mike.
No.
Houston-based company said this week it plans to open the first luxury hotel in space by late 2021. Oh, it might be out just before the last Avengers movie, or Star Wars movie. Orion Span's compact Aurora station at 35 foot by 14 foot. Its interior will be comparable to that of a Gulfstream jet, the company said. This is projected to accommodate 4 travelers and 2 crew members for 12 days, 200 miles above the Earth. Guests will be charged $9.5 million each, or about $791,666. Oh, it's the devil. $666,000 a night. Refundable deposits of $80,000 can now be made online. The founder, Frank Bunger, described his company as a serial entrepreneur technology startup executive, told Bloomberg. We want to get people into space because it's the final frontier of our civilization. In a press release, Orion Span said it would take what is historically a 24-month training regimen and prepare travelers to visit a space station and streamline it into 3 months at a fraction of the cost. Customers would subsequently, I can't even talk today, understand basic space flight, orbital mechanics, and life in pressurized environments in space, the company said. I wonder if they tell them that in space no one can hear you scream.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
The company said travelers would then enjoy the exhilaration of zero gravity, gaze at the northern and southern aurora through the many windows, soar over their hometowns, take part in research experiments such as growing food while in orbit, which they can take home with them as the ultimate souvenir. Ooh, I grew this tomato in space. Ooh, it's going to last 2 days after I get back. Revel in virtual reality experience on the holodeck and stay in touch or live stream with their loved ones back home by high-speed wireless internet access. They would also, it said, be treated to a hero's welcome home.
Of course.
Bunger said the project had been made possible in part because almost every week there's another rocket launch company that's starting up with a new way to get into orbit cheaper, faster, and better. Last year, the SpaceX founder, Elon Musk, said his company planned to send two private citizens on a trip around the moon. The pair had paid a significant deposit, he said. Jeff Bezos of Amazon and the Virgin entrepreneur Richard Branson aims to give tours short rides to the edge of space, about 60 miles up. Branson has reportedly signed up celebrities including Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Katy Perry to take the $250,000 ride. Bunger, who announced his project at the Space 2.0 Summit in San Jose, California, said Orion Span's clients would be passionate about space and astronomical study, and they'd also have to be millionaires. They'd actually have to be billionaires mm-hmm. before that, probably. We're not selling a, hey, let's go to the beach equivalent in space, he said. We're selling the experience of being an astronaut. You reckon that there are people who are willing to pay for that, have that experience?
Yep, I think so. But think about it. How old will we be in 2031? They're projecting 2021. How old will we be 2031? We're going to be in our 50s and our 60s,
be 27.
Right? Oh, that's right. You're going to be 27. Right now, you're a teenager now. Okay, yeah. Good. So let's say people were in their 60s. And my prediction is it would go down from that price to $30,000, $40,000. It's like a mortgage.
By the time we're dead, it'd be affordable, but we won't be able to afford it because we'll be dead.
I know. But what if you're in your 70s and it does become somewhat affordable? Let's say it goes down to $20,000. You save up for it starting now, something like that, because I just want to go to space and possibly even die there.
But how many 70-year-olds want to leave their house? Come on, let's be realistic.
Well, if it's going to space, I would. I mean, if I was 70 or 80 and mm-hmm. and probably I saved up for it, I make sure that I'm healthy enough to go to space. And if I die there, that's okay. But, you know, being in space, I mean, how many... Space tourism. Space tourism is now becoming... I'm not saying affordable, but it's now conceivable that if you... Yeah, right now the millionaires are getting it. Elon Musk or whoever, or Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio, they're able to do that. They can save up for it and probably just go there. But imagine,
nothing's really going to happen until Disney builds a Walt Disney Space World on the moon that people can go to and vacation at and party at.
That is true.
And fly the Millennium Falcon up there. Then yeah. we will be owned. But until that point,
yeah, that's true. But then what I'm saying is, it's not far. 20 years from now. Yeah. 20 years from now, it's 2021, so 20 years from now would be 2038.
I'll be dead by then.
Maybe me too, probably. Okay, but then...
Timo's going to kill me.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Bizarre Ray.
All right, you got the first one.
Okay. Okay, so, oh my God, reminds me of what I did. I've done this, but I used 23andMe,
yep.
And I didn't know I was part European. Yeah, like 0.5%, something like that.
That's like 2 or 3 blood cells. Come
That's
on,
right, man. Yeah. I already flossed it out. Uh-huh. You know, I flossed it. Yeah. Okay, so a woman says an Ancestry.com DNA test revealed her father, her parents' fertility doctor. Dun, dun, dun. When Kelly Rowlett received the results from a DNA sample she had sent to a popular genealogy website, she assumed there had been a mistake. The test showed that her DNA matched a sample from a doctor more than 500 miles away, and though she had never heard of him, Ancestry.com predicted the parent-child relationship between the two. At the time, Rowlett was not aware that more than 36 years ago, her parents had struggled to conceive. She did not know her mother had undergone artificial insemination, nor did she or her parents. No, her mother's fertility doctor had allegedly used his own sperm to get her pregnant with Rowlett. Oh my God.
Well, this is not the first fertility doctor to do this.
No, I'm sure, yeah. So the account comes from a lawsuit filed last week in U.S. District Court in Idaho. In it, Rowlett accuses Gerald E. Mortimer, a now-retired obstetrician-gynecologist in Idaho Falls, of fraud and medical negligence, among other things. Mortimer could not immediately be reached for comment, and it's not clear whether he has an attorney. In the early 1980s, Rowlett's parents, Howard Fowler and Sally Ashby, were married and living in Idaho Falls, not far from the Wyoming border. The pair was having a hard time conceiving. That means they've been fucking all week, but nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
Mortimer diagnosed Fowler with a low sperm count and Ashby with a tipped uterus, a condition in which the uterus tilts out towards the spine, according to the lawsuit. The doctor recommended that Ashby undergo a procedure in which she would be inseminated with both sperm and from her husband and an anonymous donor who matched the couple's specification, the lawsuit says. The couple requested a donor who was in college and taller than 6 feet with brown hair and blue eyes, and Mortimer told them that he had found the donor matching the description, the suit says. It was him all along. But the lawsuit claims that when Mortimer performed the procedure in the summer of 1980, he used his own sperm. He did not match the couple's specifications. Ashby became pregnant, and in May 1981, Mortimer delivered his own child, never divulging the secret, according to the lawsuit. Mortimer remained Ashby's doctor for several years until she and her husband moved to Washington State. How long is this article? Oh my God. Dr. Mortimer cried when Miss Ashby informed him that they were moving, according to the lawsuit. Oh! The doctor cried? Because he knows that his son is going away?
His daughter.
His daughter? Okay. Dr. Mortimer knew Kelly Rowlett was his biological daughter, but did not disclose this to Miss Ashby or Mr. Fowler. It was until last year that the decades-long secret started to unravel when Rowlett sent in a DNA sample and it told her something was off. In July, Rowlett from Benton County, Washington, received a notification about the match from Ancestry.com. She told her mother, expressing her disappointment in the unreliability of the service, and her mother recognized the doctor's name. Oh, shit. According to the lawsuit, Miss Ashby contacted Mr. Fowler, now her ex-husband, and relayed the information she obtained from Ancestry.com. Mr. Fowler was also devastated by the news. The lawsuit states, explaining that the parents painfully labored over whether they should tell their daughter. Oh my God. But several months later, Rowlett discovered the shocking truth on her own. Yeah, secrets will tend to be revealed later on in life. In August, Rowlett was helping to sort through her parents' old papers when she ran across her birth certificate. It had been signed by the doctor who delivered her, Gerald Mortimer, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit states that Rowlett was horrified and contacted her parents in a panic to relay what she had found. After news of the lawsuit, a spokeswoman for Ancestry.com said in a statement Tuesday that DNA testing helps people make new and powerful discoveries about their family history and identity. We are committed to delivering the most accurate results. However, with this, people may learn of unexpected connections. It read, with Ancestry, customer maintain ownership and control over their DNA data. Anyone who takes the test can change their DNA matching settings at any time, meaning that if they opt out, their profile and relationship will not be visible to other customers. We're almost done, guys. Sorry. Just one few more paragraphs. We should cut this down. Since the situation came to light, Rowlett and her parents have been suffering immeasurably, the lawsuit says. The family is suing Mortimer and Obstetrics and Gynecology Associates of Idaho Falls, accusing them of medical negligence, fraud, negligent infliction of emotional distress, and breach of contract.
The family had to whack off to get the load to suit in her, so that was battery.
Well, I guess so. The family's attorney could not immediately be reached for comment Tuesday by the Washington Post. So, yeah, it's really sad that, you know, these Ancestry.com things, it really reveals a lot of things.
Yeah. But, you know, what gets me is all these doctors did all this stuff and that people did stuff like this in the past. They never thought, oh, one day we'll be able to just spit in a cup and send it to, you know, our DNA will be linked and we can link it to other people and we'll find all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Nobody even thought about that back then.
Yeah. That
just like when they started using DNA samples and stuff in court and criminal proceedings.
Mm-hmm. You know, right now, especially if more and more people are sending in their DNA tests and they could cross-examine. Imagine if Ancestry.com and 23andMe, all those sites cross-reference each other, because I'm sure people prefer one over the other, and then they cross-reference their data, or some government entity crosses their database and everything, and probably get all these connections, and they would get everybody's DNA profile and see all the relationships and everything like that. I know, it's pretty scary. At the same time, that is the looking at it at the half glass empty.
Yeah.
But if you look at half glass full, you get to see what, you know, what's good about it. That you can see places, it would reveal places where your DNA or your heritage was, and probably it's an opportunity for you to visit those countries or visit those places. Like mine, I'm part Chinese and part European. I guess there's a Spanish side of me, and there's Mongolian, very small Mongolian, and then very small European. So I guess that's the Spanish part. But yeah, I'm part Chinese.
Well, just the part you ingested before you took the test.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, here's our last bizarre, and it's a little bit long too, but it's quite interesting.
All right.
Stan Lee's blood stolen blood was used to sign Marvel Comics sold in Las Vegas. Stan Lee, the legendary comics figure who helped bring many of Marvel's most iconic characters to life, has been in the news lately for reasons beyond his comics legacy. Over the last month, several reports about Lee's personal life have uncovered bizarre attempts to capitalize on the 95-year-old's fortunes. And a new twist in the tale makes that saga even stranger. In the wake of the Daily Beast reporting that Lee's finances have allegedly been drained, in part by ongoing disputes with former business partner associated with Hands of Respect, a for-profit charitable organization that both Lee and his daughter, JC, were formerly involved with. This week, celebrity news site TMZ reported that the former business associate allegedly forged medical documents last October to instruct Lee's personal nurse to drain several vials of blood from Lee. Originally, TMZ reported that people close to Lee were concerned the blood itself was going to be sold off in the form of actual pens, containing it as an ink substitute. But an updated claim today from the site alleges that blood has been instead used to stamp Lee's signature onto several recent Marvel comics, the Mighty Thor 700 and the variant covered the Rise of the Black Panther number 1. Full disclosure, Rise of the Black Panther was written by Evan Narcisi, is also a senior writer at the IO9 Gizmo.
Gizmodo.
According to TMZ, the comics are being sold at the Las Vegas Marvel Adventures Station, an officially licensed exhibition and retail store based on Disney and Marvel Studios' Avengers movies currently operating at Treasure Island, Las Vegas.
I've been there.
The site obtained a certificate of authenticity included with other stamped comics retailing for up to $500, claiming that the signature on the book had been hand-stamped with Stan Lee's solvent DNA ink. One of the many curious things about the certificates is that it ties the comics and Lee's purportedly stolen blood back to Hands of Respect, whose logo is printed on the bottom of the document. Cursory searches online about the ink turned up little beyond mentions on social media, going as far back as last December, of fans receiving other Marvel comics stamped with Lee's signature stamped on with a solvent DNA ink. Additionally, a thread posted on the forums of the third-party comic book grading service CGC Comics from February inquiring about the comics on sale at Marvel's Avengers Station with Lee's signature on them includes a post claiming to represent the exhibition's retail store, stating that the comics stamped with a solvent DNA ink infused with Lee's blood were donated with Lee's consent in the wake of the Las Vegas mass shooting and that claimed the lives of 58 people while leaving 851 injured last October.
I'm sorry, it's just really creepy having his blood all over there.
So basically, this is all out there that they're taking his blood and putting it in ink and stamping comic books with it to make more money.
So if it's blood-infused ink on your comic book, especially if it's from Stan Lee,
it has his DNA on it.
Yeah, and it's going to be costing a lot. So
$500.
That's crazy. Can you think about it? If Trump hears about this, he might do the same thing.
Trump's DNA is probably around enough women. There's probably some dress laying around in somebody's closet with his DNA on it.
Yeah, probably. So it's pretty, I don't know. It's kind of creepy having blood stains.
Well, I kind of feel bad because it sounds like Lee at his age, there's nobody there to take care of him. And all this weird, crazy stuff's happening. And I don't know if his daughter's involved because she was involved with this other thing he was doing. If it's something she's doing or these other group of people doing. But it sounds like, I know his wife died recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's nobody there to watch out and caretake of him. And now it's kind of like he's being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's really sad that this is happening. Anyway, so would you, hey listener, if you get a chance here at $500, would you buy a comic book with Stan Lee's blood in it?
For $100, I'll still get a little vial of my blood to wear around your neck.
Mm. How about semen? Like
that's $500.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you have to work it, right? That involves.
Well, no, that could a little bit of work. They could use that to program a child, and that'd have to be all kind of legal exclusions.
Oh shit, that's right. It could be used by that doctor.
Yeah, it could be used by some girl to get pregnant. Say she's my baby. I'm her baby daddy, and I'm like, oh no.
All right, so before we end the show, I just want to talk about a very important person who passed away last Friday. He's our friend Chris Kerr. He used to work in Montrose Counseling Center. Now it's called the Montrose Center, and he has been a very very influential person in all the projects and many of the projects we've done. Hatch Youth, Hatch Junior. In the crisis handling and handled by Montrose Counseling Center, and he's been a very active he's been an active president also of Asians and Friends. He worked a whole lot just serving people and everybody else, and he's just a great person. And I really feel sorry that we lost a great person, and we extend our condolences to Michael Goh, his partner, and his husband for a couple of years. And it's just really sad that we had to lose someone who's very important in the gay community of Houston. Okay, so I guess that's it, Ray. So special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.